Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to Fraternizing with Fran. I'm your host, Fran Silverman, talk radio advocate at talkradioadvocate.com. And we're here with a very interesting guest because the show subtitle is Where Interesting People Come to Chat. My guest today is Taffy Wagner, a personal finances educator and president of Own Your Own Healthcare. She educates people online and offline about health insurance, alternatives to health insurance, money and marriage, and personal finance. She focuses on premarital financial counseling. Taffy is author of several Amazon bestsellers, including Obamacare Made Easy, How to Get Business Credit for the Entrepreneur, Bride and Groom, Money Talk Fact, Debt Dilemma, and more. You can find out more about Taffy at taffywagner.com. Taffy, I'm so delighted to have you on the show.
I am so excited to be here.
Thank you so much. Why don't we start with explaining what Own Your Own Healthcare is?
So Own Your Own Healthcare is a business that my husband and I own. And what we do is we provide resources, health resources for people who maybe need to save on their prescriptions, their medications. So we provide a free prescription discount card, and we also provide dental discount plans and medical plans. So people who are uninsured or underinsured or not, you know, who are not here legally in the United States, and I want to say immigrants, you know, who don't have health insurance. They're trying to do the right things, but they don't have everything. We provide them with resources so they don't have to go without taking care of their health, because there's a lot of people still uninsured in the United States. There's a lot of people who don't have dental insurance, but they still want to take care of their health. So we see ourselves as advocates and people they can go to and say, hey, do you have this resource? And so we have that platform where we provide those resources, and we also educate them on the Affordable Care Act. I've created online classes about that, and also how to utilize health insurance if you're getting it for the first time, how to use those benefits. So we're really trying to be those go-to people to say, hey, we don't want anybody suffering at home in silence, having an illness because they don't have health insurance, or they don't even know who to ask the questions to.
Is there a website for this Own Your Own Healthcare?
It is. It's called ownyourhealthcare.com. That's the website, ownyourhealthcare.com.
Oh, ownyourhealthcare. So do you make any money from this, or you just provide this for the goodness of your heart?
Well, we are, both of us are independent brokers. Own Your Healthcare is our business, though. So we have other resources that we utilize for some of that stuff. But we've both written our own books. So we have books on Amazon, whereas his book is How to Save Money on Prescription Drugs. And I have a book on Obamacare, and I'm working on a new book. So we have other things that we still provide that we've written that we are, you know, that we solely own.
So in other words, you did the research when you did the books, I guess.
Well, I actually did the research first, and then the books came. We were already helping people with different things. I had been teaching on Obamacare for a little bit over 2 years. And so when I first wrote the book, I had been teaching on it for about a year on my own. And so I decided to write a book because there's still so many people who don't understand that mandate. And, you know, you can only get to so many people if you're only using one platform. So I decided to put myself out there several different ways besides just my seminars online and offline. I decided to create a book, and then I decided to create an online course because you're going to get different people every time.
Yeah, I'm really fascinated about this Obamacare book. First of all, how do you market this book? Did you send a copy to the president?
No. Maybe I should have, because people were, when they were coming to my seminars, they were like, but how come the administration isn't doing this? Because I was literally educating people on what the process was. And so they were like, but how come the administration didn't do this? And I'm finding out more information that I've never even heard before. So I never even sent it in because I did it from a consumer's perspective. It has nothing to do with politics. It's just a consumer's perspective based on I'm a personal finances expert, and I looked at it from, okay, what do I need to know? Even as a consumer, even though I'm looking at finances, but what is it that I want to know when it comes to what this loss is? How is it going to affect me? How is it going to affect my family? How is it going to affect my finances and my health? So I put it on Amazon, and that was my platform for marketing that book.
Oh, you know, you talk about alternatives to health care. What are some of the alternatives to health care?
So alternatives to health, well, and this is what I should be saying. Alternatives to health insurance is what I should say, because it's not
health care. Everybody can get health care, right?
Everybody can get health care. It's just a matter of everybody's not going to be able to afford insurance. And so alternatives to health insurance are, you know, indemnity plans where you go to whoever doctor you want to go to, and they just basically give you a reimbursement. They give you back a certain percentage. Then there are short-term catastrophic plans where you pay, you know, a certain amount a month, and if there's something that catastrophic happens, it's, you know, up to a certain dollar amount that they are, you know, you're basically covered for. And then we have the discount plans that, you know, that I promote, which basically says, we're going to give you a discount up front on a service as long as you're seeing one of our providers. And we're in 44 states. And so there's alternatives out there. I even teach people about low-cost clinics that are in their area. I talk about going to urgent care facilities and even no-cost clinics and even health fairs that are in people's areas. So I talk about all those different resources that are available, but due to the individual mandate being it was just so much noise, and it was the politics, people didn't understand that there were other alternatives available to them when it came to not being able to afford health insurance.
So it's the discounts that they don't know about. They don't know about the discount. Are these insurance companies reliable? I mean, well, they won't be going out in a year, will they?
Well, with a discount plan, they're not an insurance company. And so our discount plan has been in business for 23 years. So they were there long before Obamacare even came into place, and they're still going to be there.
When you say your discount, in other words, you provide the insurance?
Okay, so the biggest thing is it's a discount plan. And I'm a broker for the company that started the discount plan, okay?
So it's like I'm
an agent for that company, okay? And so that company has been in business for 23 years. So they're already proven. They've been on Good Morning America. Morley Safer of 60 Minutes did an independent review on the company. They've got outstanding credentials. They've been vetted. They're not going anywhere. They didn't start because of Obamacare. They've been here.
Oh, I didn't realize that you were working for them.
Yes, I'm an independent.
So then you really know what you're talking about because you're on the inside.
I'm on the inside, but even, you know, being on that part, I teach some of the people in the company. I taught them for about Obamacare myself because it wasn't information that they shared. That was just my thing. I wanted to know about Obamacare for myself. So then I started teaching more people.
So did most people that come to you go to Obamacare, or do they look for these alternatives?
The people that come to me have already gone to Obamacare, and they don't like the price. So they're coming to me for an alternative. They'll say, I had it, I struggled to pay it, I can no longer afford it. And that's when they're coming to me. Or they say, my husband has an employer-sponsored plan, he can't afford to add me and the kids, what can you provide for me? So it's varying circumstances. It's not that people were not trying to do the right thing, because they were, but they found it unaffordable for their specific household, and that's when they come to me.
I get you.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have an office, or do you work from your home?
I have an office in my home. And so pretty much everything that I do can be done online. Unless I'm actually doing a local seminar in our area, which I do those pretty often, or if I'm networking, you know, with different businesses in the local area, I'll go out and do some meetings, you know, this kind of stuff. But usually most of everything I do can be done online because we're in 44 states. So I have people that contact me from different states all the time. so it's not. I don't need to have a physical office.
And how do they find you?
I am all over the place. I do a lot of, I have, you know, on our website, we have a blog, so I do blogging. But I have a Twitter, I have three Twitter accounts that I have, and I've built up my Twitter following. And then I have a Facebook page, and I have a LinkedIn page. And I also do the blab that you and I were speaking about before. I had my own radio show.
We have to talk about that. You said that you have to be a member of Twitter. And that this is a blab. This, you can go on there, and you have people that have like interests, and you can talk about it. Tell us about this blab.
Okay, so, and I love the blab platform. So blab, it allows you to communicate live by video with people who are interested in the subject that you're talking about. So, for example, my blab I talk about right now, I talk about frustration about the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare. But you could do a blab on, I thought about doing a blab for nonfiction authors because I have a platform that I work with nonfiction authors. And so you could literally do a blab about anything. And what happens is it's like a live show, and it's all by video. And so you can invite three people to have a seat on your blab and talk with you by video. And then other people can be in your chat area, which you'll see when they come in, because they'll subscribe, and they'll be there, and you could have live chats with them. They could be asking you questions, and you answer them on your blab. And so once the blab is done, it creates a link that you can actually embed into your website, or you could actually send it out via Twitter, via Facebook, via LinkedIn, whatever it is you would want to do. You can send your blab out. You don't have to do the blab will always be live, but you could schedule it for a future date. You don't have to do it like today if you wanted to do one. You could do it today, or you could say, I'm going to do a blab in 2 days. And then you could actually send your information out to whoever follows you, whether they're on Facebook or LinkedIn or whatever platforms you use, social media, or even in your email blast system. Send out information about your blab, and then people can come and join and be talking with you about the subject that you're discussing, what interests them, what their concerns are. And so I love the platform. It's really neat.
So what did you say that you need? You need a webcam?
Or? Yes, you need a webcam or your Twitter account. Because your webcam, whether it's a camera that's in your computer or you put one on top of your computer. But that's all you need.
That's all you need?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wow.
And
that
I
is
love
incredible.
It. And there's a lot of people that use Blab, and it's got such a great following. And I like how you will get people who will join you because, like, even right now, I'm on their page, and it shows you, it'll say on air. It shows you all the people who are on air right now doing a Blab. It tells you what their topic is. It tells you how many people are watching. It tells you how many people are viewing. And there's so many Blabs out there, but it's exciting because it's different. You don't lose people, but you can gain a new audience really fast.
Can you do it for as long as you want? I mean, like a half an hour,
as far as
or
I know,
an hour?
I've done one. The longest I've done is for an hour, but I think people have done them for quite a bit longer.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kathy, you know, in an interview on your website, you were asked the difference between you and other financial planners. And you explained that you're not a financial planner, but you plan for a person's financial future with regard to insurance, investing, and retirement. Now, isn't this saying the same thing?
No, I don't do insurance and retirement. I don't. I was saying I don't do those things. I actually plan with people for their finances, for their marriage. And what I mean by that is we talk about debt. We talk about money management. What are the bills that you have to pay? Later on, they actually may go to a financial planner, and they will talk about insurance, and they'll talk about retirement. But I talk with them about all that stuff before they get there. What are their beliefs when it comes to money? Well, who do they think should manage the money in their household? You're not going through those things with a financial planner because you're beyond that stage.
Well, a financial planner doesn't ask those questions.
The ones that I've dealt with, they're not going through those stages that I'm going through because I'm strictly focused on their marriage. If they're already married and they've got their finances in order, they're usually going to them to plan for their retirement. I don't go through those things. I don't talk with them about, you know, retirement and CDs and 401ks. I don't get into any of that at all. I don't. I recommend that they, I'll tell them, you do need to have life insurance. You don't need to wait until something happens to get it. That's as far as I go, though. But I don't get into what it is. I don't recommend no companies. I don't recommend none of those things. I'm strictly on how, you know, what did you see when you were growing up when it comes to managing money? What do you like? What do you dislike? What are you going to do when you meet this person and you want to get married and they may not have a job? Are you going to make loans? It's those things. I get into all of that. Financial planners aren't doing those things. They're beyond that stage. They're somewhere else.
So you plan for a person's financial future with regard to money management?
Money management, preparing for home ownership, if they're dealing with student loans, you know, having those discussions when they're, and if they're dealing with debt, and most of them are dealing with debt but not necessarily addressing it. They know they have it, but they don't want to tell their spouse that they have debt coming into the marriage.
Wow.
So I deal with all of those because no one's telling them premarital financial counseling. A lot of people go to premarital counseling, but finances is not discussed. It's still not being discussed. The only thing they're discussing about finances when they're engaged is, okay, what dress am I going to buy? Where are we going to have our wedding? Where's going to be the honeymoon? Where are we going to, you know, it's those discussions. And I'm saying, you know what, that discussion is fine, but let's have this discussion. What do you bring to the table when it comes to finances? What habits do you bring when it comes to finances that the other person may not like? Is somebody hiding money, or is somebody having a secret account that you don't know about and they're spending, but they're not paying bills? Those discussions.
Yep. I think that you should be, you're in Denver, but you should be everywhere.
Well, I'm about to be everywhere because I am creating an online course for this. I am right now, even as we speak.
Oh.
Yes, ma'am, I sure am. And it'll probably be out in a little bit less than 2 weeks, but I sure am. I'm creating an online course that people can get from wherever they are. That way they can get it, because I have people that say, where were you so many years ago? And I've been doing this a long time, you know. But like you said, I need to expand, so I need to be more everywhere. And I've done bridal shows, and it's like the last thing that people expect. And I've had moms who say, oh, my gosh, I wish I had you. You need to listen to her. These types of things. So I'm expanding my reach and getting it out there so more people can get it, and then they can communicate with me by email, Skype, or even Blab.
You started with a podcast. You went to the Blab, and now you're doing an online seminar.
Right. And see, my Blab right now isn't on personal finances, but I will make one, because you can do a Blab. You can niche it. You can have it in many different niches. And so I will do a Blab after my course is released, and that may be just for the students so they can come in and we can talk. And it doesn't have to be live, but you're talking to just who's right there with you. It doesn't have to be on air. Let me put it that way. You can have those discussions and it's live, but it doesn't have to be on air.
Well, then you don't need the webcam. Is that what you're saying, or you do?
You do. You still need the webcam. It's just that you say it's not on air, you know, so that everybody everybody who's a member of Blab can see it. That's what I'm saying. Yes.
Okay. All right. We'll go on another route now. Why did you decide to homeschool your children?
Oh, my gosh. I love homeschooling. Well, actually, friend, it was my husband. When I met him, he was talking with me, and he said, you know, whenever we have children, you're gonna have to homeschool. And I was like, what are you talking about? I wasn't homeschooled, because my mom was a single parent, and she did everything with us and still worked a full-time job and came to school and this kind of thing. And he was like, well, you know, in your Bible it says, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know what? Don't be coming at me like that. So
why did he feel that way, that you should homeschool your children?
Well, because we are very, you know, we're a faith-based couple. We really are. And he felt that I needed to be home and really, you know, lay the foundation for our kids and really pour into them. And this was, we had this discussion long before we even had kids. And the more I thought about it, I liked the idea because I love to educate. It doesn't matter what the level is. I love to educate. And so when the time came and I had our kids, I have twins, and I already knew I was going to homeschool. So I did leave the job, and I had already started a business on the side, so I still had income. I've always worked. That never stopped. I've always worked. And so I started homeschooling our twins, and it has been the best decision I ever made. For one reason, I know that usually when you send twins to regular school, they'll split them up. And a lot of times in school, they teach one way. Well, I knew our twins' learning style by the time they were 8 months old. And so I teach according to their learning style, and their styles are different. And it has they have totally thrived because of that. And so I didn't want them split up because they also were a comfort to each other. If I taught one a concept and the other one didn't understand, and if I taught them both, then the other one would go back to the other and say, okay, you know what, this is how it should be. This is what she means. And they would get it. And so they have their own language. They really do.
But what about the social impact?
Here's what I like to say when people say, well, don't they miss the social thing? I'm not sending my kids to school to be social. I'm not sending my kids to be bullied. I'm sending them there to get an education and to make a difference in the lives of people, to be an asset to the world. I'm not sending them there to be bullied. They don't have to make friends when they're young and this kind of stuff. They will make friends, but they don't have to do those things. And so I'm sending them there to get an education and not be distracted by somebody else who's maybe disruptive in the classroom and these types of things. Because they don't miss a social aspect of being homeschooled. They have different activities that we participate in. They don't miss being social. But they definitely do miss bullying and schools protecting the bully versus the person who's being bullied. Because we see a lot of times now where kids are killing themselves because they were bullied in school, but nobody protected the kid. They protected the bully.
And so there's such a thing as a child being overprotected, too. But that's another story.
There is a thing as such as a child being overprotected, but that's a parent's, that's a fault of the parent. You do have to let your children experience things. And homeschooling doesn't stop your child from being, from experiencing different things because they still get, and I think they actually get better exposure because you don't limit them to, you can only do things a certain way. You can only learn one, I do teach according to their learning style, and I do pick and choose different courses I will let the kids experience outside of our home. But I'm there so I can see what the teacher, what the instructor is providing and how they're communicating with my child. I'm very involved. And I think that's where sometimes when students are in traditional school, parents aren't involved enough to know what their kid is really getting.
Oh, so in other words, you send them out to classes that you don't teach. Is that it?
My kids were in karate, so I took them to a karate class that they had twice a week. I had my kids in Spanish, but I was right there. It wasn't that I wasn't right there. I was right there in those classes with them. So I could see how they were interacting, how they were going to learn, how the person was going to communicate the language. But 95% of it, I teach them.
How old are your twins today?
They're 13.
Oh, so you've been homeschooling them since they were
Yes, ma'am. Since birth, I started before 5 years old. My kids were in a cooking class at the age of three. They were working events with me when they were like 3 years old. They were working my booths with me. They've been all over it. My kids have three books on Amazon. They started writing when they were 9 years old and publishing books.
Well, there's no question that they have a bright mother and father.
But I involve them. I treat them as, like I know they're great. I know they have greatness in them. I know they can impact other people. So I just nurture the gifts that they already have. I don't take away from it. I just add to it. I nurture it. I involve them in different things that they're interested in. I find those resources. For example, at the beginning of this school year, my daughter was in a coding class put on by Microsoft for a week. My son was in a Lego camp that was for pre-engineering for a week that was put on by this platform here in Colorado. But they're all over. I don't forget the name of it. But they have I put them in those activities so that they can expand and grow even more.
Wow. I just have trouble mastering Twitter, and you do all these things.
Well, Fran, I tell you, they keep me going because they've got YouTube channels that are out of this world. My YouTube channel, I think I have 10 videos. They have 70-plus videos on their Twitter. They were the ones who were teaching me about live streaming. They were doing live chats on their YouTubes and different platforms with people. And I was like, what do you mean you've got, you know, 50, 100 people watching your live stream? I don't even know what you're talking about. And they've been doing this now for like over a year. And I'm like, oh, my goodness.
You mean okay, YouTube fine. Taught you?
They my kids learned it on their own.
Oh, your kids learned it.
They
oh,
learned
well,
it. And
kids grew up with computers.
Oh, my gosh. But, see, they're so advanced. And I'm like, why would I stop that their thinking process? Why would I stop their creativity? Let's go with it.
Well, Taffy, you have been an extremely interesting guest, and I have to say that I really, now I see that I've got to get you on more radio shows, because you really have a lot to offer.
I try to use every gift that I have, because somebody needs what I have. I know that much, so I try to put it out there. But I appreciate your interviewing me today. I have had so much fun.
Okay, I'm so glad. Okay.
Yes,
well,
all right.
We're out of time.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Taffy.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. You've been listening to Fraternizing with Fran, where interesting people come to chat, and I hope you'll join us next week, where we'll have another fascinating guest. Thank you, and goodbye.